Welcome to Notcast, episode 244, Heroic Fiesta. Woo! Oh, man. We've survived yet another, the sixth, furry fiesta.
Oh, God. What a long time.
I'm Severin.
I'm a very tired Shiva.
And Fuzz still has Concred.
And we're still a little bit raspy ourselves.
Yep.
Granted, mine's not Concred, though. Mine's pre-Concred.
Mine's just allergies. The mountain cedar trees have been coming all over everything in sight, and, well, that doesn't do me much good. But yes, we have survived yet another year of Furry Fiesta. This year we had 1,884? 82?
87 something.
It's 80 something ish attendees.
Yes.
And that's not including staff.
The biggest thing that makes me so happy is the amount we raise for charity.
Yep.
18,500. And there's some change in there. I think Buck's still doing the final.
Counting the pennies.
Counting the pennies. So, but roughly 8,500.
18,500.
Yeah. 18,500.
Yeah.
For care, so that was phenomenal.
That's a huge chunk of, that's a good chunk of what their annual budget is, isn't it?
Yeah, they run about 100K a year.
So, I mean, that's like 20% of their yearly operating income just from us in just one weekend. Yep. That is fucking amazing.
And we're planning on taking the check out to them on the 15th.
Yep, I saw that thread on the forum. And I'm like,
you were actually on the forum?
Yeah.
I know.
That was like the meeting on Thursday before the con. It was like, it was on the forum. I looked. And Path was like, oh, Severin was on the forum. I'm really bad about going on to the forum.
So,
but that's so really good.
There was 325 fursuits in the parade. There was, let's see, what other vital statistics?
He had 25% growth year over year on our pre-reg.
Oh my god, that was...
And like 26-27% on attendees.
Yeah, that was huge. I mean, we were expecting maybe 17, 18 if we're lucky, not almost 19. So yeah, we kind of blew off the doors. Shirts were a lot more popular than
we ran out of those really quick.
Yeah, I mean, last year we had a ton of shirts left over, so I ordered less this year. Basically, I took the amount of shirts we ordered last year, ordered 20% more this year, and they vanished.
Yep. They were good-looking shirts, too.
Well, I also really tried to share them out there so people knew what they were looking for, so that might have helped.
Yeah. And so. I was there when we did the soaps, all 1,830 of them, and they all went.
Mm-hmm. Which means that Guardian doesn't have to unpeel them and melt them down again.
Yay. He's like, I don't have bunches of soap lurking around my apartment for months.
And that was kind of nice, because I heard a lot of people saying that they really liked the soap design this year.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of nail polishing for me, because it's like, they like my soap. Oh, they didn't know who they were standing next to when they were saying, we really like this. Like, hee.
And, you know, my department's just, my on-site, you know, responsibilities are actually pretty small at Fiesta, but it always is, it's still an important room, and it went very well, and, you know.
Yeah, Den went extremely well, had fairly good reports from all my dealers. Artist Alley, I got,
mixed.
A lot of bad. And it was by a lot of people who haven't been in it before.
Yeah.
I got a lot of new faces trying to get into the alley this time. And where, like last year, I sold out each day, usually had a couple people on standby, and they would go and sit down when the artists I had got tired and went to go do stuff. But this year, I had almost double the demand every single day than I had spots.
Yeah, lots of people wanting to get in on the action.
So it's like I went from a little bit extra to, oh my god, blowing off the doors. And I don't know, yeah, so.
That'll be something for the board to figure out.
It's an issue. I don't know what the right answer is.
Because I know for a fact that my parents did very well. They were very happy.
They said so. I'm glad.
I know.
Ended up lending them my Wi-Fi password so that they could run their cards.
Because, yeah, they had really good sales and had lots of people come by, and My mom does the whole motherly thing, and people just tell her story, tell her everything. It's, mm-hmm. it's just because she has this aura of mom going on. Mm-hmm. So she always has a nice word for anybody to come up and talk to her. And I actually got a tweet from somebody going, "Hey, were your parents stealing at the con?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Your mom seems really nice." I was like, "That's nice." And I told her as much, and she had warm fuzzies. Yeah, Fiesta was exciting, and, you know, the first year at the hotel. I mean, and even though we had such a big growth, the hotel didn't feel really super crowded because of all the space.
Yeah.
Give it another, I'd say, pop another 600 or 700 people, then we'll start feeling really crowded. But that'll be another year or two, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we got to try and finish using up all of the Intercontinental. And then I think we'll probably need to, once we start really putting a squeeze on it, get an actual block at the Marriott next door. So, just, yeah.
We'll figure it out. But
Lord help us.
We had a really good year. And onward to the next.
Things that we need to work on. The parking.
Definitely.
Oh, my God, the parking. So, I don't know if how many of our listeners were there, but parking was a nightmare. We were originally told by the hotel that, oh, yeah, you guys will be able to use the parking garage. We'll just open the gates and you can use it. No problem. Well, our sales rep, our original one, didn't put that in the contract. So we get to Fiesta time and the sales rep, our current one, because our first one left the company, said, oh, it's not anywhere in your contract. No, we're going to charge you. And we're like, okay. Where are we going to put all these people? So she's like, well, there's the overflow lot across the street. That's ours, too.
Oh. And by overflow lot, we mean field.
Yes. So it's like, okay, they've got a parking lot. And partway through Friday, we learned that they weren't policing it. They weren't parking anybody. People were being dumb. They were blocking roads. And yes, it was kind of a cluster. It was a
clusterfuck.
So, it's like that was a big blind spot, because we had no idea that we couldn't use the garage until, like, 3 days before the con.
Yeah, surprise!
And then not learning that the hotel's not managing their own space? Oh!
Yep.
Well,
I mean, we had everybody out there at one point or another.
I mean, the con chair was out there directing traffic.
Just because, you know, volunteering out. Most people don't really want to go out and volunteer to stand in a field and play direct in a traffic. Parking
lot. Yeah.
I mean, so that's definitely something we get to figure out for next year. But okay. Hey, don't worry. It's only 11 months to go.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of time to figure that stuff out. It's just, gee gods. I think that was probably our biggest blind side for the con, was the parking fiasco.
Yeah. I mean, it's new year, new hotel. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
You're going to have to figure out how the things go with all the various things of this new hotel. Ugh. But I certainly thought it was a successful year.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Oh, man.
Other than that, oh my God, I went into the Wildstar beta. Fuck.
Sarah got into their stress test weekend or something like that.
Lucky fucker.
Other than that, I haven't really, between having to go out to the East Coast.
Yeah, you've kind of had other shit going on.
Oh my God, have I had other shit going on. My mom passed away, so I had to quickly fly out there in the middle of a goddamn snowstorm. So I booked original flight, and my sister was first okay with it, and then she started panicking. So I was late, originally going to fly out late on Friday. My sister panicked. I canceled that flight because I did it within like 2 hours and Expedia is okay that way. Rebooked it for early ass o'clock on Thursday. Well, Wednesday, they canceled my Thursday flight because of a snowstorm. Call it. I spent 5 hours on hold trying to get that flight rebooked on Wednesday. And finally get it rebooked. It's for like 9 a.m. It's like, okay, well, it's a couple hours later. I guess the snow's going to be done. Well, they called me at 3 a.m. and cancel it.
3 a.m.?
3 a.m. they cancel the flight. Okay. I don't think I'm getting out there this day. My sister told me that she went ahead and bought another ticket for me on Friday, but please try to get an earlier flight so I could go with her to, like, the courthouse and such. So I managed to get a third flight booked. They managed to squeak me into Philly between, they canceled all their morning flights, had, like, a handful of afternoon flights, then canceled all their evening flights. I managed to get in just before they start the next round of cancellation, and I tell you, it was a rough landing. I mean, the clouds are incredibly low. We were really close to the ground before we came out of the cloud bank, and just so much turbulence coming in.
Yeah, that would not sound very fun.
And instead of driving up to New Jersey to a hotel that night, I ended up sleeping on the couch at my stepsister's, and let me tell you, that was not comfy. So then we drove up to New Jersey, got together with my sister, got to go to a courthouse to deal with all kinds of crap with being my mom's heirs, because she doesn't have a will. So that's, because it came out of the blue. And then the service was on Saturday at noon. And then after the service, there was this weird hobnob time in the church when people sit and talk. Well,
getting a little bit of robot voice there.
Yeah, we are. So the weird thing about that is we ended up...
I don't know why it's doing this.
I'm just putting in a pause.
Go ahead.
So that Saturday, service was at 1, and then there was this weird hobnob after the church service. And it's just this milling around in the basement, eating sandwiches, catching up with family. And this entire time, it starts to snow again. And I'm watching out the window as it's coming down pretty thick. I'm like, oh, God. And my grandparents and such eventually wanted to go have a get-together that night. But I'm looking at the snow, and finally me and my dad and everything else and my sister all take off, go down south. 5 hours south to trying to escape the snowstorm to my dad's in Virginia. So I go down. We managed to make it that night. We drive out of the snowstorm, and that was smooth sailing all the rest of the way. And so I get to spend Sunday with my dad and my sister, which is really good, because after you lose, you know, family, it's nice to
spend time with the rest of it.
It's like cling to the people you don't get to see. And then Monday, the driving adventure begins. So driving, let's see. Monday, I left Virginia, drove to Knoxville. That was about 6 hours. Crashed there overnight, visited, I can't remember her furry name, visited a friend, and then early Tuesday morning, started driving, drove to Nashville. Nashville. I was in Knoxville, drove to Nashville, stopped it by one of our company offices out there because I needed a break out of the car. Ended up doing some IT stuff there, checking in with people, giving a little bit of training. I was there for like 3.5 hours, not very long. Got in the car, and my whole goal was to see how far I could get from Nashville to Dallas in a night. My minimum that I wanted to stop at was Little Rock. So I drive, and I probably get to Little Rock about 7 o'clock. And I'm looking at, I stop and I eat and I kind of see how I feel. It's like, you know, it's 5 hours to Dallas. Let's see how much of that I can get done. Well, hit Texarkana. It's about 2.5 hours to Dallas. I'm feeling fine. Let's see if I can't get this knocked out tonight. I ended up pulling into my apartment complex and getting out of the car at 1:30 in the morning between Tuesday and Wednesday. And I've been drinking caffeine by the bucket. Just, you know, everything I've been drinking was caffeine, caffeine, caffeine. I had a 5 hour, like around probably about 5 o'clock. So I'm very awake, but I'm finally home. I finally think I managed to get to bed sometime around 4, just enough time for the caffeine to wear off. Then at 8 o'clock, I get woken up when Guardian texts me about calling stuff. It's like, I'm not going to bed after this. So I get like 4 hours of sleep. Wednesday. And it's like con all day, con. Yep. Go pick up food for the staff meeting this way, that way, and then finally just everything. Then again, Thursday morning, 8 o'clock, Guardian texts me.
Con
all day long.
Then, of course, the actual convention happened.
Yeah, and I don't know how I could do it otherwise. I mean, I knew that part of my problem with handling some of the crap at Fiesta was that I was still, in many ways, an emotional basket case. So I tried not to be too, but occasionally it was just, it's like, enough with the complaining. I just stop. Like, I can't do anything about it. Please. There was this one artist, I won't name her, who was really, really pushing hard. It's like, yes, I know there's a long line. Yes, I know that you're not the one that got in. I know that you're a name, but you're being too pushy. I've had a long week. Please stop. And she's like, I wasn't trying to be personal, and I wasn't trying to yell at you. It's like, you are succeeding, and you're being really pushy. I will do what I can do, but, you know, I can only do so much. And between the alley and just people being constantly unhappy about it, it just hit me way harder than it should have. I mean, on one hand, my dealers are really happy, and I love them, but this year, Artist Alley, it almost made me walk away from the con. And I know it's because I've had a lot on my plate, but it really hit me hard with the way different people reacted to it. You know, got to see Rama, who runs the den and registration at various cons. He came up to visit. Stopped by Fuzz's party twice in the evening. And then went home and slept. Had to work Monday. And then, let's see.
That had to have been exciting.
Yeah, well, catching up on everything I've missed for the last week and a half. After con, I mean, I couldn't afford the PTO after my sister, you know, kind of pushed me to take extra time. Not with all the other stuff I got to do this year. But the worst part is after all this, after all my mom dying, after everything that's happened, you know, all I just got done with con. I'm stressed out of my mind. Is little cat. So my ex-husband's little cat has had cancer for like the last 8 months, 6 months, something like that. And we just found out that there was something wrong in August, found out it was cancer in October, and it's now end of February. Well, we had kind of made the decision that when she could start showing pain and started to be deteriorating, so she stopped being able to eat, she started gagging, she started bleeding everywhere because of cancer. And we're like, okay, it's time. So this cat was like 13 years old, and I loved her very, very much, and I had to put her down on Tuesday. So I was like, God damn, after everything, I have to put my freaking cat to sleep. So it has been
rough.
2014 can go suck a bag of dicks, as far as I'm concerned, because this has been a shit-tastic year. But, I mean, at one point, I'm sad that she's gone. On the other hand, I'm relieved because it's been 6 months of watching this poor little cat slowly deteriorate and suffer and know that eventually something's going to happen, and yeah, it's going to have to do that. So we actually had a house call vet came by the house to do it instead of like really freaking her out and taking her to the vet, because she's still very with it. She wasn't groggy or anything else. She's still at all her facilities, which means that she would get freaked out going to the vet. So we got someone to come and do a house call, and, you know, but that was really rough trying to sleep that night because the house was super quiet without her. And Sarah was torn up, so was Siam, but it was a rough night. So I am really hoping that things can go uphill from here. I mean, I still have to go to my mom's burial, I think, in May. They haven't set the date. Which means another round with that side of the family and another round of saying goodbye to mom. Because I wish they had just held off and done both together instead of like two separate rounds of raking you over the coals.
That would have been better.
But... Well, they couldn't do a burial up there this time of year. There was like a foot and a half of snow and the ground was frozen.
Yeah.
And apparently it's hitting my grandmother really hard because this is the first child that she's lost. And they wanted to give her a little bit of closure, but having to go redo it all in May is like, oh my god. So, it's not over. Now we have to figure out what to do with all of her estate and what we bills we can pay, because there's more bills than there's estate. So we'll see what comes out of that. But I'm hoping, I'm crossing my fingers so hard that things get better from here, because it has been really shit so far. On the upside, Saturday is North Texas Irish Festival.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. It's me and Sarah's second anniversary.
Cool.
So, that looking forward to that a lot.
Yeah.
So.
In other news, Texas's ban on gay marriage was ruled unconstitutional. Yes. And our Governor Goodhair had himself a stroke.
Oh, I hadn't heard.
He was like, oh, well, this is a clear violation of the 10th Amendment. Blah, 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 blah. And the state should be supreme on this. Never mind the Supremacy Clause and all that stuff. And then Kentucky has been told, no, you do have to recognize marriages performed in other states, even if they're them queers. And then Arizona.
There's just a snowball effect of slowly things. Once DOMA got next,
You got Oregon saying, we ain't defending this shit. You got Virginia being told, yeah, this is unconstitutional. You got Utah being told. You got Oklahoma being told. You got
now Texas getting told.
Kentucky getting told. You know, it's like just working our way around the redneck states and forcing their hands. This is eventually, you know, Supremes need to get off their ass and be like, all right, you motherfuckers, just accelerate this through, because we're going to have to deal with this.
And Arizona, but somebody wrote in about the Arizona thing. Arizona can go suck a fuck.
Yeah, Jan Brewer is a bitch. And it really did take a lot of strong-arming from everything from, like, the NFL to Apple.
Yeah, telling her, Apple. What was American Airlines also threw their hat in the ring.
Yeah. It's like...
Well, do we want to read Jeeves real quick before
we go? Yeah, let's just go ahead right into the emails, because it's actually on topic.
Yeah. Regarding recent Arizona issues. Dear Notcast, regarding the United States' recent issues involving a certain state's plan to allow businesses to refuse service to openly gay married gay couples, I thought I'd bring your attention to the actions of a small Scottish company who made the mistake of believing they could do the same thing. Sweet Station Carts is a small business that provides dessert candy carts to wedding functions, and as Christian organizations are against gay marriage, which recently was made fully legal in Scotland, choose to deny the business of a gay couple hoping to hire them for their wedding. The problem? It's already illegal to discriminate against and refuse service to customers on the grounds of their sexuality in the UK. Cue the wonderful shitstorm on Tumblr and Twitter of people being very angry and boycotting what's already just a small family-run business. So, what will happen if the Arizona law does somehow pass? I'd like to think that all that will happen is a lot of businesses will suddenly find themselves losing vast amounts of profits as they are named and shamed by the majority of decent people. In the future, we will really look back on these small groups of bigots and misguided fools as we now look back on those who are pro-segregation in the days of the civil rights movement. A stupid footnote and a stupid fight against basic equality for all people. So, to any furries in Arizona who will worry about the influence of this law, don't worry. The idiots trying to stop you living your lives as you wish are about to make themselves very easy to identify and avoid. Let them, and watch them as they screw themselves royally in the ass. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves. P.S. You know that Arizona legislature are doing something very wrong when Mitt freaking Romney is demanding that you veto your bigoted bill. That was, it's like, well, wow.
You had John McCain, the state senator, and a couple of the other state senator too, you know, and eventually she did veto it because, you know, of all the pressure she was getting. But at the same time, they've seen what happens when a state tries to pull this shit, and the other states that were working on it in process, think Georgia and Ohio, have pulled theirs down. Because Kansas was the first to the plate on this stupidity, and they got told in a big way. And then Arizona was like, screw you, we're going to go through with it. And then they had their shitstorm. You know, so the other two states that were trying to bring it up have dropped theirs. And one of the people was like, well, I just didn't expect that kind of firestorm. Well, yeah, when you try to go back, you know, for Jim Crow, you know, we had this fight literally 50 years ago. It's like, change color of your skin to who you like to sleep with.
It's basically, if you say that it's okay to discriminate against this on the basis of religious freedom, there's other things that people and small churches could say are against our freedom, like AKA black people. Or unwed mothers, or divorce. I mean, There's lots of things that are prescribed by various churches, you know, that they could then hold up of, no, we don't serve your kind here.
Yeah, but this, you know, it was just this ridiculously, openly, nakedly animus-driven law, you know. And, you know, it really kind of bugs me is I'm just waiting for one to pop up here in Texas, pass, and get signed by Governor Goodhair.
Governor Goodhair.
And then the state will be paying the ACLU's legal funds for here for another decade. You know, because that's really, you know, the only winner is when these kind of dumb shit laws get passed are the lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because ultimately, you know, blatantly unconstitutional nonsense like that, it'll get passed. All right, well, great. Now there's a bunch of lawsuits and the state has to spend money. And who pays for that shit? The taxpayers. You know. It's ultimately the people of the state that end up having to pay for their legislative dumbasses in the Capitol. I didn't vote for any of them fuckers. So yeah, I mean, that was a dumb little story on a very good week for rights in general, at least in the U.S.,
I think so.
You know, and like Michigan has their stuff ongoing, and I think a couple more states have stuff ongoing. You've got states like Oregon with their AGs going, yeah, I ain't defending this. So when it gets, you know, knocked down in their particular state, hell, I think one of the GLBT legal groups is starting up shit in Louisiana and Alabama, which, given precedent, the federal courts really don't have a choice at this point, but it's like, hey, we finally have a shot now that these other states and, you know, that sexuality is now more closer to being a suspect class that requires heightened scrutiny. It's really exciting. I mean, you know, this is a bunch of good shit that's happening really fast, and it is going to take up to the Supreme Court finally getting off their ass and ruling, saying, yeah, I guess them queers do have a right to marry. Gosh.
Because Lord knows, that's not like it hurting anybody.
Yeah, we've got 10 years of gay marriage in Massachusetts, and the West Coast ain't fallen, and the East Coast ain't fallen into the sea yet.
Or who caught on fire.
Yeah. So, ain't no giant hurricanes wiping, Providence, and that's Rhode Island. What's the big gay town in Massachusetts?
Provincetown?
Provincetown, there we go. I guess that's the big gay town. I don't know.
Yeah, that's P-Town's kind of the big deal.
Okay. Anyways, yeah. It's people are dumb, and, you know, once this, you know, next generation of bigots dies off, shit'll get much better. Because, I mean, you know, now that since the 90s, people being gay and open and not being these terrifying boogeymen in the closet, realizing that, no, oh, someone's gay? You mean, like, you know, Jim at the coffee shop or Bob at Home Depot or,
yeah, you know, Jane at the
florist? Yeah. You know, it's like these are people that you interact with and you know gay people and people are out there and they're not these big, scary boogeymen that people used to portray them as, you know, that they're your neighbor, they're your cousin, they're your uncle. So, I mean, it's a lot freaking harder to demonize gays and lesbians.
Yeah, and people are more aware of what family members they have.
Yeah. And so, I mean, shit. Progress is being made. Huzzah. So, I'm going to read this Con report. pretty long. I will work my way through. TFF Conreport and LDR 911. Hey, Notcasters, it's Jacques Chat again. I'm going to guess his cat is French. First of all, I hope to say you're all doing well. Shiva, I'm sorry to hear about your mom. My condolences. Fuzz and Saverin, congrats on your milestones. Now for the Conreport. I arrived on Thursday night. I stayed nearby at the Marriott due to the lack of rooms and the cheaper rate. I really liked the hotel, however, the down escalator being on the Fritz, the Leaks Lover Artist Alley and Volunteer Area, and the trek to the Corral were a few issues I noticed. I'm just chalking it up to being the first year there. However, the highly reflective black marble flooring in the restroom showing a near-mirror perfect reflection of anyone using the toilets was a bit more disturbing, especially as I am studying to be an architect and the poor design bothers me. During the con, I spent most of my time volunteering at the art show, where I was a bag check and door security for the majority of my time there. I bid on a few pieces and only outbid on one by Heather Bruton. I enjoyed meeting the artists and talking to them in a more even setting than artist and client. After the art show, I helped some friends and suit out by acting as their handler and found a few prints and a book in the dealer's den. The den was spacious this year. It felt very open, even with all the tables and vendors. For dinners, I had sushi with friends, and on Sunday we went to the Magic Time Machine restaurant where we were all served by Merida from Brave. The food is great, and the building is so cool with all its themed booths and rooms. I flew out Monday, and I'm ready for next year. The con was great. And now for a bit of a downer. So, there's a report. Thank you. Glad you came. See you next year. And now for a bit of a downer. I'm having relationship trouble. It's gotten to the point where I don't even know if anything can be salvaged. I met this guy at a regional meet. He was hosting it at his house. We hit it off, and the next few weeks we text back and forth, and a couple meets later, during a quiet moment, we began to flirt, and I kissed him. We started getting closer, and the next few visits we've been curled up on his bed snuggling and playing around. It is my first major relationship with anyone, and it moved at a good pace. I was a bit more reserved when it came to sex, but after talking and building my trust in him, we began to play with toys. Things then began to crumble in early November. Leaving his place and driving the 2 hours home, I went off the road in a dark turn and rolled my car through oncoming traffic. I wound up about 200 yards from where I went off the road, upside down on the roof of my car. When I opened my eyes, I was dangling from my seatbelt. Luckily, some other driver stopped and was able to crawl out of my poor total Jeep.
Ow.
Once I had found my phone, he was the third person I called. I was taken to the hospital with a 7-centimeter cut in my scalp and a small chunk missing from my left knee.
Ow.
I was lucky and released about 4 hours later from the hospital. I called him again and talked to him a bit, letting him know I was okay and loved him. I wasn't able to get back there the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and while we fooled around a bit in the tent... I wasn't able to get back up there until the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And while I fooled around a bit and attempted sex, the memory of my accident was still pretty fresh. In addition, his roommates were getting ready to move back home to South Carolina. After Thanksgiving, our schedules did not mesh up, and we weren't able to see each other. I noticed it was getting harder and harder to get him to respond to my texts, and our weekly calls were filled with him worrying about family and bills. In mid-January, after him telling me he was too busy for me to come for the weekend, I received a text. It said, "I think we need to talk." Later that week, we talked and he told me he was thinking about moving to Alabama. He also told me that he wasn't too big on serious relationships and thought it was best we stayed where we were. I told him that was okay and things seemed alright. Our texts and calls were flirty again and we were planning on meeting at TFF. Safe to say it didn't work out so well. He was busy working a suit commission the entire weekend and each time I would see him and ask if he wanted to spend time together, I was turned down. Towards the end of the con, I was basically annoyed and asked him directly, "Why aren't we spending time together?" He said that I would have to accept it as it was, and he wasn't going to change. He didn't want to talk about why, it's just the way he is. He told me he didn't want to get hurt or hurt anyone else. I told him I was a little late for that and went to dinner with some friends. "Y'all, I don't know what to do anymore. I really care about the guy, and he said he cares about me. I might love him. I'm not looking for long term, maybe just a year or so. I can see that something is wrong at his end. He's afraid of something, but he won't tell me anything. I want to give him till he figures out if he's actually moving to give him an ultimatum. Are we through? Right now, our friendship is on shaky ground. I'm planning currently to call him this week and then talk with him openly about how I feel and what he is to me. I don't want to lose a lover any more than I want to lose a friend. He's busy straddling the fence, and I think he may never come off. So what do you guys suggest? How can I persuade him to open up to me and work with me on our relationship? I'll be seeing him in a few weeks to pick up some stuff, and I have no idea what I should do."
Hmm.
Hmm.
Sounds like either he's got issues or...
It definitely sounds like commitment issues. I mean, if... I think a lot of this might probably stem from, I don't know, maybe a lack of setting your expectations pretty early on. You know, is this trying to be serious? Is this trying to be friends with benefits? You know, fuck buddies. You know, it does suck that the guy's not responding to your calls and stuff. But when he was being concerned about family and bills, that could also, that also is something that would really weigh on your mind. I mean, I'm sure Shiva can definitely attest that dealing with family and bills related to said family can definitely chew up a lot of your free time and headspace.
And just worry, and that's, you know.
You know, it does suck that at Fiesta he was very busy. And I think, you know, he may have a lot of other stuff going on that, you know, he isn't telling you. And it's one of those things that maybe there's some bad shit going on with his family. He doesn't want to share it because he wants to keep it private.
Maybe he's avoiding. Maybe he's just, you know, busy. I mean, it's a really hard call. But it also comes down to if he's this busy and you need somebody who's there a little bit more from you, you know.
You know, I think at this point, you know, it's not so much a matter of is there a relationship there. I think you really need to focus on, is there a friendship there? You want to be friends with this guy, and you like him, and you want to, you would like to have a sexual relationship with him. But it doesn't seem to me like Home Slice really wants that himself. That he's, if he's prepared for it. You know? Because commitment issues, you don't want to hit yourself to that wagon. Mm-mm. You know, if he's not ready, but you feel you are, you don't want to be hitched to someone who's not ready.
And yeah, because then you're going to feel like you're coming second, you're, you know.
Or, you know, you might end up inadvertently pressuring him, and which would just only cause more friction. You know, I think, and this kind of sucks to hear, that you need to probably prepare for the fact that there's not going to be a relationship like you would want. And especially if he moves to Alabama, that the relationship is not going to be what you want. You know, being friends with the guy, great. But I don't know if you want to hitch your wagon to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just for your own sanity.
You gotta kind of find out if you're going to be taking this amount of his life, is he, you know, is he... You know, is this amount of interaction what you want or need?
Yeah, I mean, you have your own emotional needs. And it's like, is this guy going to be able to fulfill it? And it's a simple yes or no. And it's only up to you to determine it. I think you might need to dial back your expectations to just being friends.
Yeah.
And I also wonder if this was the couple that were having a fight in the elevators on Saturday night or something like that. As I was walking out from dropping off my radio on Saturday night, there was these two, this couple apparently having a bit of a tiff in person, right in front of me. And I'm just like there holding my drink, just kind of looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying nothing, just hitting the button to go down.
I mean, I heard a couple squabbles, so it could have been.
No, yeah. I know. It could have been, but it's just one of those things that, oh no, people are having conflict at a convention.
It
happens. So, yeah, the, make sure you get your stuff and, you know, be friends with the guy if you think you can still be friends. But I'm just going to tell you, I don't think your LDR is going to be the R you want. So, okay. Here's a
quick Tumblr question.
Yes.
Do the casters watch Game of Thrones? If so, are you looking forward to season 4? Also this for the best crossover tagline ever. Game of Ponies. Winter wrap-up is coming.
I do not watch Game of Thrones. It is not on Netflix, and I don't have cable.
I am an avid watcher, and I read the books, so yes, I am very much could not wait for season four. I got Cero through season one and two just before three hit, and now he's like, where's four?
Give me more Daenerys. I need her dragons to eat more people.
More like more Tyrion. I need more midget. Oh, God. He's... I like him. I never thought I'd have a thing for a midget. I definitely have a thing for Peter Dinklage. So. Yeah.
He's going to be in the new X-Men movie, too.
Oh, what's he playing?
He's in Days of Future Past. He's going to be one
of the... Oh, yeah, he's playing Trask, isn't he?
No, he's one of Trask's associates, I think. Oh. Because wasn't... No. Who's the guy that was in Iron Man 3? The actual villain. That wasn't Trask.
Oh, no. That was the Mandarin?
Well, the Mandarin was...
Oh, the guy running the Mandarin show behind the...
Yeah, the actual villain.
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, it's like, I don't think he's Bolivar Trask, but I know he's involved as something.
To the Batcoogle.
Yeah. Anyways, so... This is a week ago. Misunderstandings and Interpretation. Dear Notcast, I was listening to the latest episode, 243, where you read my email about the new bad dragon, Limpies. Just after I sent the email, I was kicking myself thinking I should have added in the joke about Kevin Smith and a furry panic room. It seemed to be a misunderstanding about the first part of my email. It wasn't, in fact, a link to the College Humor video. It was a link to a different video, which I thought you might also enjoy. It was the same kind of bend-your-head-shaking terribleness and amusing commentary on fandoms. And so I present to you Scientifically Accurate Ninja Turtles and Scientifically Accurate DuckTales, both of which were very quite funny.
Oh, he is going to be playing Bolivar Trask.
Oh, he is? Okay. Mm-hmm. So the midget makes the giant sentinels. Because, you know, he's compensating. Yeah. So, also, in reference to one of the other emailers, whom discussed essentially being an emotional masochist, what I took from the email was that the reason this emailer, hereon referred to as Masso, was with the social pariah, hereon referred to as loner, was that Masso was getting off on the fact that loner is so disgusting that they were degrading themselves by being with them. Think like the girls who take value and get off on the fact that their partners pass them around with their gross friends. Why that is so damaging is because A, other than not being consensual, which goes against the two ideals of BDSM and kink, SSC, safe, sane, and consensual, or RAC, risk-aware, consensual kink, both of which contain the word consensual, it creates a false hope in loner. B, if Masso told Loner, I'm sleeping with you only because I get off on the fact you're so disgusting and the rest of society would be appalled. Unless Loner was just that desperate for sex, I highly doubt they'd give consent. And C, if someone is that into degradation and humiliation, that they are going to this kind of level, they may need to speak to someone about this. Surely there are safer ways, such as roleplay. Get your partner to dress up like a stereotypical nerd, complete with tape glasses, fake bad teeth, pocket protectors. Play it out like that. If the humiliation was something they got off on, wouldn't BC with his person also turn them on? Because that would be another level of, what in the world is Masso doing with someone like Loner? In closing, or TLDR, Masso should really consider seeking the help of a counselor or therapist to talk about these feelings they have, and also admit to Loner that they've essentially been using them to live out a strange fetish. If they consent to it, then they can have plenty more sex, although I sense that they may lose some of the thrill. And if they don't, then you just further damage a socially awkward person, whom probably had low self-esteem to begin with. In which case, Masso would solely be to blame for using them in such a way. Sorry for the rant, but I think it's wrong to do such a thing. An angry honey badger hybrid, DJ. And that's really pretty much in line with what we said. It was like, dude, you're really not playing fair on this. This is not right. This is not something you should do. But the guy wrote back in and was like, don't read this on air, but yeah, I'm going to cut it off.
Yeah.
Which is good. So yeah, I mean, that was really, we didn't get a ton of emails this week. We didn't have a bunch of backlog. And, man, next week, hopefully everyone will be back in one piece. We need to pull up an item from Adam and Eve real quick. So, you know, once again, thank you guys for continuing to support us via purchasing things, purchasing dongs. You know, it's not like we make a lot of money doing it, but we make a little bit, and it makes covering certain things easier. AdamEve.com. The first thing that comes up is the All-American 8-inch Whopper Dildo with universal harness. Because that's the first thing in the history of this tablet. We need to think of a topic. Maybe get some guests on. It's like, ugh.
Let's see.
Yeah, if you want to do pegging, you could do that one.
Well, the thing is I'm the only one who would really... I think I'm the only one who'd done pegging, so there's not exactly a lot of cross. I mean, we could get people to write in about it, but...
Yeah. It's like pegging. Awesome or awesomer? Great gear for guys. Let's see.
Oh, I thought you meant as a topic, not a...
Well, I mean, we could do pegging as a topic. I mean,
but we don't have a lot of other people.
Yeah, but we don't have, yeah, like, we don't have a lot of people that are like, yeah, I'm going to come on and talk about pegging.
I mean...
Let's see butt toys. That's butts. Some expensive stuff. Prostate massagers. The Legend Anal Pleaser. Silicone curved prostate probe. Prostate probes. Titan Man Anal Master.
Do that one.
I just love the names. And it's actually $20. The Titan Man Anal Master Tool. This anatomically designed plug makes anal exploration and prostate stimulation more orgasmic. The smooth entry points are specially shaped for pure anal enjoyment. The high-quality dual-layer shiny and matte material produces a unique look and feel and is impregnated with antibacterial silicone to keep your tool clean and safe. And they're virtually indestructible. 5 inches by 1.5 inches. And right now it's $20. So, just get yourself, our coupon code, not KNOT, and get for about $10 plus a little bit of shipping.
I tried to search on the website to see Titan to see if I could find it, and it didn't come up. It's like a Titan's Men Tools penis ring was the only result.
Mm. It's a Doc Johnson brand item, but it's got 26 reviews and it's got 4+ stars.
And just that name.
Yeah, the Titan Man Anal Master. Ooh.
It's gonna master your ass.
It's got kind of a nice shape.
Assifier.
Sure.
I mean, I'm just looking at some of the names. Sassy Anal Beads.
Oh, so sassy. Yeah, but seriously though, you know, things like plugs are and prostate massagers are actually really helpful if you're like, you know, not used to the butt sex or even used to the butt sex, it makes it easier. And if you're working on
loosening
so you can use bigger toys
or bigger dicks
and toys
or both, stuff at three at the same time.
Not at the same time. Oh, God, I was on fucking Castro Street. This is always a great start for stories. I was on Castro Street in San Fran a couple years ago and went into one of the sex shops that they have there. And there was this one dildo that I saw that was like 3 cocks, like, twisted together.
Mm-hmm.
Massive fucking thing. It was just... It's like, just go sit on a fucking... traffic cone already. It was the most ridiculous looking thing. I've seen some dudes take some really big cocks.
There's one here. It looks like it's made of like the cheapest plastic. It's from My First Anal Toy.
Let's not. It's like, don't cheap out on sex toys, kids. Just don't.
Yeah.
So yeah, use your coupon code NOT at AdamEve.com. Save yourself some money. Kick back our way too. It's always nice. And, yeah, so you can email us in at notcast@foxeffers.com. You can follow us on Twitter @notcast. You can follow us on FA at Notcast, though I haven't posted anything for like a good freaking month.
Really?
Because all of our shows have been very impromptu, and we've been getting lots of stuff, and we've just been busy with shit.
Con.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Saverin Drake.
And I'm at Chimera, K-H-Y-M-A-E-R-A. And I spell that because it's a funky spelling.
Yep. You and your weird L-shaped names.
I'm sorry.
So, on that note.
Good night.
And big balls.